May the Lord help us to commence this morning with you, number 35. Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father all-glorious, our all-victorious. Come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Number 35.
Thank you. as we together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture, both in the Gospels. First, from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, beginning to read from verse 26 through to verse 39, and then reading a few verses from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13. First reading together, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, beginning to read from verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And the whole of the multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13. And we will read the first 17 verses. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13. Reading the first 17 verses. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us, and may he help us to call upon his name in prayer. O Lord our God, God of mercy, truth, and grace, we come before thee at this time and pray that we may each appear before thee so in soberness of heart and of mind, that we are before thee a thrice holy God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And dear Lord, we do pray that we may come indeed conscious indeed of thy holiness, thy righteousness, and Lord, may we each come before thee in and through the person of thy dearly beloved Son, him only being our acceptance before God the Father, both in worship and in prayer. And we pray, Lord, help us to take off the shoes of our carnality, for the ground whereupon we stand is holy ground. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that we have been brought near unto thee this morning and in the means of grace. And we do pray, Lord, that it may be true of each one of us as we seek thy face this morning, that we have come with a need in our souls, a desire and a love for thy name. And Lord, that we have been drawn to thee through the influence of thy Spirit and power, that we might be helped and enabled this time to partake of thee in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there be any that have come before thee at this time and that their worship, their devotion is a burden to their souls. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt, in thy rich mercy, remove that burden from them. Bring them, Lord, this time to feel their need of thee, and that they might be true seekers of thy face, and Lord, desirous to know thee in thy saving grace at Calvary. O Lord, we do pray that each one of us may indeed be brought to realize the blessings of thy great salvation in the unspeakable gift of thy dearly beloved Son, he whom thou didst not spare, but oh, that thou didst indeed reveal of him as that one that should take away the sins and the iniquities of thy people. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear, and that, Lord, that need in our souls to serve thee and to worship thee at this time, but oh, to know the blessing and the truth, our portion with thee as poor needy sinners here below. Oh, we come, Lord, nothing in our hands, nothing in and of ourselves to plead, no good and merit in us whatsoever, but poor and helpless and needy at thy feet, looking for a morsel, praying for a morsel of living bread out of thine hands, that thou wilt come, Lord, and serve upon each one of us that morsel to enliven us, to revive us, and to again bless us with renewed strength inwardly and spiritually in our souls, to do unto us the good that thou seest us to stand in need of. And so, Lord, we come before thee, and that thou wilt indeed bless us each. Oh, undertake for us, Lord, so many of us, differing conditions, differing needs, different troubles, Lord, trials, and different concerns, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come, that thou wilt meet the case and the need of each one of us. They may be those things outward and in our lives. They may be those afflictions in our path, both in body and outward, but also then the burden and the trouble in our souls, inwardly and spiritually. And Lord, there are things there, dear Lord, which we can only tell thee about, Lord, and we have to come before thee. We cannot speak, Lord, of some of those things that come into our poor hearts to any of our fellow men. Oh, Lord, the solemn truth, what we discover day by day, even, Lord, of besetting sins, evil in our hearts, and, oh, Lord, brought to mourn and sorrow with a godly sorrow over all our many failings and shortcomings, and in particular, Lord, the vanity that is found in our lives, the carnality in our hearts, the body of death that we're brought to experience day by day. But we do thank thee, Lord, that what thou dost see and behold in us, that we are enabled to come to the throne of grace and to tell thee, Lord, those things that thou already knowest about. But what a mercy it is, Lord, as sin is an abomination unto thee. And so, Lord, unto those who have been changed and renewed by grace, brought to see their filth within, also those are brought to hate their sins And Lord, our rich mercy, that we can come to thee, even as the publican came. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, striking upon his breast, where all his trouble was found. But oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for the fountain of thy precious blood, open for sin and uncleanness. Do help us, Lord, then, to draw near to thee at this time. May it be a set time to favour Zion, Lord, a visitation from thyself, a word in season to our poor, needy souls. Oh, let thy word be a savour of life unto life to us, that our time spent together may be a good time and a profitable time, and that, Lord, we may be brought, Lord Jesus, again, to know thy mercy to thy people, and that thou hast promised that thou wilt not leave them comfortless, but I will come unto you. Oh, that is our mercy, Lord, this day, that thou wilt come to thy people, that thou wilt come, Lord, and behold them as that people whom thou hast redeemed and saved through thy precious blood, and that people indeed who are precious unto thee, that people, Lord, whom thou didst have a favour and a love to, even from before the foundation of the world, and revealed that love to them in the person of thy dearly beloved Son. O Lord, we do pray. O help us, Lord, to partake of thyself this day, to partake, Lord, again, to be brought to see, Lord, our great salvation in the merits and in the person, thy dearly beloved Son, all that he came to do for sinners at Calvary's tree. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, oh, for Calvary. Oh, Lord, we cannot enter into those sufferings that thou didst pass through and endure to put away the sins and the iniquities of thy church and people. But in measure, Lord, as thou hast shown unto us our own sins and our own iniquities, and that it was for us, we are brought, Lord, in that measure to realize, Lord, a little of that that thou didst endure and pass through. For, O Lord, we hate our sins, but thou didst come to put them away for us. And, Lord, we do pray that we might be helped to glorify thee, Lord, through Calvary's cross. O Lord, leave us not, Lord, to be those unmoved and unconcerned in respect of the greatness of our salvation. But often, Lord, may our poor hearts be drawn to thee. Sweet the moments rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, Lord, oh, to be brought there. And Lord, we thank thee for each time and each season where, Lord, we're brought through thy Spirit to view thee in our room and place at Calvary, putting away our sins and iniquities forever. Lord, help us to continue in our walk and path here below. Help us to remember whose we are and to whom we do belong, that we were bought with a price, the price of thine own heart's blood. Then, O Lord, we do pray, keep us close unto thyself, faithful disciples to thyself, and that we might continue, Lord, in our pilgrimage journey here below, and to know, Lord Jesus, that we are indeed those journeying, Lord, to an end, Lord, in respect of thy people, pressing toward the mark of the prize, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, what a mercy it is to know that as we journey on and we do not know the number of days that thou wilt bless us with upon the earth, but that we have an expected end. Oh, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh Lord, whether we're young, whether we're old, Lord, our days are with thee, and we do not know the number of those days. But oh Lord, what a mercy it is to have an expected end, and that there is an end for thy people, and beyond the grave. And Lord, this is our mercy to contemplate. For O Lord, thou art our forerunner, who hath for us entered. Lord, may it be that we shall indeed be brought again to see that thy people are following in thy steps, and they're following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And so, Lord, we do pray, be with us, and help us to journey on, and help us to flee from this world and worldliness and worldly cares. Lord, all those things that are pleasure and vanity here below, which one day shall all be burned up as an oven, and in a moment of time. And O Lord, help us to hold all things loose with a loose hand here below, and to know, Lord Jesus, that thou hast spoken in thy word that my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, do help us, Lord, to flee from all that is of time and sense, as it were, that would hinder us in our path and in our spiritual journeying here below. And Lord, that we may have those tokens in the way of thine especial love, where thou hast met with us, and that we're journeying to that eternal rest. May we enter into a rest this day, a gospel rest in our souls. May we know this day, that day set apart for the glory of thy name. Indeed, know that separation from all things else beside, being able to worship thee, to love thee, and to serve thee, to be found in the ordinances of thy house, that our poor souls might delight in thee, and Lord, that we might be those that shall glorify thee, and enhance that grace that came to save sinners. And so, Lord, help us to be found at thy feet as thy handmaid Mary was found. And Lord, if there are many that have come cumbered about with much things as Martha was, Lord, we do pray, remove them at this time. May Christ alone be revealed, and Christ alone be that one thing needful to each of our souls. And help us each to feast upon thee. Help us to feast upon all the good things of thy gospel grace, which emanate to us through thy cross, and that we might be those indeed that shall be as those that have taken great spoil in thy word. Come to us then, Lord, we pray thee, incline our hearts to thee in worship. May the gospel be proclaimed this day. May thy people find comforts and blessings out of Zion for their poor souls. Through thy Spirit, Lord, apply thy word. And Lord, we do pray that there may be a gathering in of sinners to thyself through the gospel, and where, Lord, there may be those brought into that knowledge of their sin, repenting, Lord, before thee, and seeking to know their pardon, through thy precious blood, that we may be enabled again to rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Draw near to thy servant, help him to speak in thy name. At this time, the words of this life be mouth matter and utterance for him, and let thy word and thy truth be a blessing to each one of us, to open each of our hearts to hear and to receive thy word mixed with faith, and that we may each be doers of the same. Do pardon and forgive all that is amiss and sinful with us, and we ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 708. As when a child secure of arms hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. 708.
Thank you.
seeking the help, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. We would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, reading the latter portion of verse 8 and then verse 10. Gospel according to John, chapter 13, the latter portion of verse 8 and then verse 10. Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." The Lord Jesus hath now completed a part of the work that his heavenly Father gave him to do, that is, namely, to be a prophet, the preaching of the gospel. His ministry had now come to a close. Chapter 12 to chapter 17, the Lord Jesus, in a very real and personal way, is teaching, instructing, warning his disciples, and then in a very particular way he is teaching them, because they were those whom he would send forth to preach his everlasting gospel to the four corners of the earth. In this chapter 13, there was a very, very important and vital lesson that his disciples should learn. And Jesus, how wonderfully he is that one that doth show to them and lead them into the truth of humility. It is one of the greatest blessings, the greatest gift of our God, to be given this grace of the Spirit of humility. It is that that truly is such a great part and defines the Lord's dear people as a people separated, a people humbled, a people made low and poor. And it will be a constant prayer to the Lord that he would ask, that we would ask him to pray, that he would keep us in that low and humble place of humility. It will never be putting ourselves first. No, we will be those indeed that will put others before us rather than ourselves. It will keep us low. But one of the great and important truths of this humility that the Lord Jesus here showed to his disciples, remember that they called him Lord and Master. But here Jesus took the part of a servant. You know, the servants and the slaves were those that washed the feet of those that came into one's dwelling or house. It was because of the sandy conditions in the country, and it was needful that the feet be washed. It seemed to be courteous to do that. Remember when Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus into his house and with his disciples, he didn't wash the feet of Jesus. He didn't show that courtesy, dear friends, as it was that they should. No, who was it that came and washed his feet? It was that poor, humble, broken woman, dear friends, that came and washed his feet. Yes. And the Lord Jesus let Simon the Pharisee know of it. You see, humility. And she was one that was broken up, dear friends. She was one with tears in her eyes. And they were those tears, dear friends, that she was once saved and redeemed. She was a woman of the city. She came and washed his feet, dear friends. She put Jesus first. She wasn't ashamed of Jesus, not at all. And she is a type of the church today. And oh, that humility that was with her, not only through a broken and a contrite spirit, but also acknowledging her Lord and her Saviour before her. And so Jesus took the form of a servant here and washed his disciples' feet. And it was to teach them this humility. And it is such an important part, dear friends, of the lives of the Lord's dear people. It shows their oneness with Jesus. It defines them as a people separate to the Lord himself. They're identified, dear friends, by their humble, their contrite hearts. They're identified because they are those that will look to each other's cares and burdens. They will pray for one another. They will seek each other's good, you see. And they will be in unity with each other. This was one of the important truths that the disciples, when the Spirit from on high came upon them, should preach in the name of Jesus to the four corners of the earth as his apostles. Dear friends, it is the church in union together, in fellowship together, and they pray for one another. They seek each other's good, seek each other's welfare, concern themselves with each other. There is such a wonderful union and fellowship between them. And really it comes forth from what Jesus has done for them at Calvary's tree. May we pray to know more of this humility, to know more of the nature of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, that we might resemble him, be more like him. And dear friends, it will be that that will help us to serve one another, to wash each other's feet, as it were, to have a prayerful concern for each other, to be of one heart and one mind, one faith and one love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this humble, this spirit of humility is a wonderful bond, dear friends, that will hold the church together. And friends, we will be prepared, dear friends, to suffer wrong, that this humility might be preserved amongst us. Yes, dear friends, humility, it forms a great part of our lives here below, if we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you see, dear friends, he practiced what he preached. I know it's a saying that is common, but Jesus, dear friends, is an example here. He's an example to his disciples, and he's an example to us today. May we each seek and desire of the Lord that he will give to us this true spirit of humility and humbleness, that we might serve him, properly and rightly and glorify his name. It will hold the church together, this humbleness and this humility, never to be left to ourselves and to follow the dictates of our own hearts, dear friends, never. Oh, may the Lord help us then. Probably gone a little bit too further than I expected upon this point, but coming to the words of our text, and this is part of the washing of the disciples' feet. And Jesus doth take this lesson here, which was he takes of something that is done naturally, and he opens up a spiritual truth in respect of these things. Peter was always one that was probably a little bit rash, always seemed at times to do things without considering, without thinking. He seemed to be the only disciple, again, that questioned what the Lord Jesus was doing here. But I do believe that Peter, ultimately, he was brought to see here what Jesus was doing. Jesus said to him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And dear friends, Peter was going to preach this humility and this humbleness, dear friends, in the preaching of the gospel. And so not only would Peter know and understand what Jesus hath done, as Jesus explained, following his washing of their feet, but also when he went forth preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have a truth. Jesus said, Peter saith unto him, "Dost thou wash my feet?" Peter, who are you? You see, he wasn't broken up enough. The other disciples didn't question it. They didn't permit Jesus to finish that he was doing. "Wilt thou wash my feet?" He was yet to learn the lesson. Oh, may we wait upon Jesus. May we not question, dear friends, the wisdom and of Jesus, and the way in which he will deal with us and do things for us. Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Oh, dear friends, we must wait upon the Lord, not be of a hasty and a rash spirit, not try and perceive, dear friends, before the end of the matter is done. Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now Jesus is turning here from the doing a natural washing of the feet, and he is taking this occasion and applying a spiritual application to this washing. And you see, the truth of this, Peter was already a redeemed soul. And so we can see that the Lord Jesus has changed the way in which he will speak to him, and applying the spiritual. And friends, it is for all of us to take heed of these words. "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." It is a spiritual application that we're to consider here in these words of our text. that if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Is this a word that the Lord may be speaking to each one of us at this time? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. It is such an important truth. I believe if we think of the natural here in this way, that it isn't the body, the washing, the body Jesus has provided for us as God. He has provided for us our food, our necessities for our bodies, our meat, our drink, our bread to eat. He has provided for our bodies. And then the body, it will be cared for. It will be kept, yes, in the times of sickness, the times of disease. The body will be kept by the physicians, the doctors, the GPs. But knowing this truth, the overruling hand of the great physician in respect of our bodies here below, yes, the great physician, his sovereign will in respect of us, his absolute care for our bodies according to his will. We may have experienced sicknesses and disease, some of us serious, and the Lord in his rich mercy has been that one to overrule, to manage all, to restore, to bring back. But there's something more important than the body, and it is the soul. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. It is the soul, dear friends. That is the important part. The most important part. And this word, I was on holiday last week, and this word seemed to rest upon my spirit. The words of our text, the truth of it, that if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And I thought, in respect of that word, and just trying to consider a few thoughts upon it, to bring out the important truth. If I wash thee not, it is the soul. And a little later, I read of the account of that mad Gadarene. And I thought, well, there is such an application here that applies to this text. That mad Gadarene, that evil man, that devil man, that solemn place that he was in, the awfulness of that man, the awfulness of his nature, the awfulness of his condition, to such an extent he could break the chains. Dear friends, naturally we cannot. But friends, the devil that was in him, the evil, seemed to well up, give him this enormous strength, the evil of his heart, the wretched man that he was. the vileness of that man. And then, dear friends, such are we by nature, no different. That is where we are by nature. Unholy, unclean, vile, base, a devil nature, as we are born into this world. And dear friends, if the outward might look clean, it was amongst the tombs, yes, amongst those bones in those tombs, the inward is depraved and vile and base. And the Lord Jesus spake that word, if I can just find it, in respect of the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. And friends, I include myself. By nature, that is where we are, born into this world, unclean, a devil nature. And to show this devil nature, Paul, one that reminded the church at Ephesus, and that very sad state and condition that we're in by nature, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so we have here a clear picture shown to us. This mad Gadarene amongst the tombs, you see, seemed to be his dwelling place. And we might think of the tomb. We might think of this world, dear friends, a tomb. And then we, in our born in a sinful nature, are those born dead, trespasses and in sins. We may just think of the word spoken in respect of the prodigal son, lost, found dead, alive. And we may be living natural lives, dear friends, but as I say, the soul, the most important thing, if he were to gain the whole world and lose your own soul, the one thing precious, the one thing, dear friends, that we must needs know and pray that the Lord will teach us by his Spirit, our inward depravity by nature, that we are all sin. We are vile, we are corrupt, we are polluted throughout. There is no good thing to be found in us by nature. None whatsoever. And then this truth, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Let me just open up first this truth of no part with me. Dear friends, it is a most awful thing to be born into this world to never know the blessings of God and the gift of his dearly beloved Son by way of salvation and redemption for our souls, to pass through this earthly scene, to never to know Christ and the mercy that he brought with him and showed that mercy at Calvary's tree. We have no union, no fellowship, no part, no Christ to go to, no blessings to seek for, no mercy seat. Dear friends, if we have no part with him, if we have no part with him, if we go forth, dear friends, never to know this washing, then, oh, dear friends, our lives which will end up in eternal misery, no union, no fellowship, no communion, no worship, no prayer. Oh, dear friends, and dear friends, you see, Saul of Tarsus would be a praying man. And remember, dear friends, we've just spoke of the mad Gadarene. Look at that madman. He was mad against the church. He was a madman. Make no mistake about it. But dear friends, he prayed often, that man did. But there was only one occasion that his prayers were heard. Behold, he prayeth. Ananias seemed to question what this man, that he should ever be one that could be saved and redeemed. The evil that he had wrought upon many, persecuting the church, behold, he prayeth. Oh, dear friends, never to know these blessings, never to be able to come to a Christ in all our needs, in all our concerns here below, never to be able to seek after him, unless I wash thee. Oh, this seems to be the important thing, doesn't it? Unless I wash thee. You see, it is with Jesus. It is in this truth. All that his heavenly Father gave to him, if I wash thee not. Oh, there must needs then be a washing, a complete change, not only through the precious blood of Jesus, but oh, that life regenerated through grace. Ye must be born again. Oh, there must be, dear friends, that washing, that cleansing, that healing. It must be. If I wash thee not, perhaps the Lord may take this word and apply it by his Spirit to each soul that not one here that should be left without this washing. We have many things that are important in our lives, many matters that we, and concerns that we have to deal with and undertake here below. And they're proper things, lawful things to do. But this is something, dear friends, that is pitched higher and above all the matters and the concerns that we have here below. It concerns our never dying and immortal soul. Not just for now, but for an eternity. If I wash thee not, does it bring thy poor soul to Jesus? Jesus, let me know about this washing. Thou hast shown to me the awfulness of my sin, the evil of my heart. I know that I am a sinner. And Lord, I want this washing. I want this cleansing, this healing. In Psalm 51, Psalm of David, we know that it followed those solemn events in David's life, respect of Bathsheba and so forth. But in verse 7 of Psalm 51, he says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Dear friends, purge me with hyssop. It was hyssop that was taken by the children of Israel to paint the blood of the sacrificial lamb upon the doorposts and the lintels, that they did when the destroying angel was to pass over, that they would not be destroyed. When I see the blood, I will pass over. And oh, purge me with hyssop. Oh, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus, the blood that is able to atone, to cleanse, to heal, to make clean, and to restore, and to bring back, to renew, that infinite and precious blood of Jesus. Oh, friends, to know the efficacy of that blood. The Holy Spirit taking of the blood of Jesus, applying it to our consciences, that we might know its healing balm in our poor souls, to heal, to cleanse, to wash clean. There is a thought in respect of this in Isaiah chapter 1. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It means purity, dear friends. A wholesome cleansing. The fountain of Christ's precious blood. That fountain open for sin and all uncleanness. Whatever that uncleanness might be, the cleanness of the wholeness of our nature as we are born into this world. Oh, may this be an urgent inquiry at the throne of grace. If the Lord has begun to show the uncleanness of our hearts, he has begun that good work in us. It is a beginning, but dear friends, it is to lead us with repentance to the cross of Jesus, because Jesus is the only provision. He spared not his own Son. He delivered him up for us all. And that it is through that precious blood that he shed, that he has blotted out all our sins and iniquities, and forever. And the wonderful truth that he will remember our sins no more. Oh, this is the mercy. If I wash thee not, oh, there must be a washing. There must be a cleansing and a healing. And oh, this mad Gadarene, see the wonderment of that man. And oh, believe, dear friends, in a twofold way, that man was blessed. He was found at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. In one sense, dear friends, until we've passed through this washing, we will never be in our right mind. We will never know the satisfaction of peace and pardon to our souls. Know that Jesus has cleansed us, that he has removed all our sin and defilement. You see, it is so important. He was found at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. And dear friends, what a mercy it is to be brought to that place, to have our peace and pardon through the blood of Jesus known and felt in our poor consciences, all guilt and defilement removed. Oh, that precious blood of Jesus. Oh, that it is able to heal and able to cleanse from all sin and from all defilement. May the Lord make each one of us anxious, concerned, prayerful, and to know that there is no other healing balm for the soul of a poor sinner but that that is found in the blood and the merits of Jesus alone. No, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. How awful it is to pass through our lives here below, come to the end of our days, finish our days here upon the earth, and never to know any part with Jesus. I believe that this is one of the most solemn words in the Holy Scriptures. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, I pray that each one of us have come to the ordinance of the Lord's house this morning, because they want to know something about this washing, this healing, this precious balm of Jesus' blood, able to cleanse, to heal. And friends, it doesn't matter how awful thy sins are. That was the consideration in respect of that mad Gadarene. We might say, well, I'm not as bad as he was. Dear friends, he had the devil in his heart. And we're born into this world and we can't get him out, dear friends. We can't get him out. It is Jesus alone that was manifested to destroy the works of the devil in us. And it was through his cross, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, and his head was bruised at Calvary. And he bruised his heel. The heel is the minor part, and the head is the major part. And Jesus bruised his head at Calvary. Dear friends, what a mercy it is that his power and influence was destroyed in the souls of his dear people. And it is Jesus that gave his church the victory at Calvary, overcoming all their enemies, world, flesh, sin, death, the devil. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. May this word be a concern. May it draw our poor souls to Jesus, because he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone can raise up the sinner from death unto life. And that is where we are by nature. We are dead, dear friends. I may have told you before that Augustus Toplady, I have his one or two books of his works, various sermons and discourses in them. And he likens our birth into this world as one, though alive, and yet stillborn. I know it is an awful thing, and that any may have a stillborn child. It has happened so in my own family. I know the distress, but it wasn't meant and intended in that application at all. Dear friends, if we pass through this earthly scene here below and come to the grave, it is just as if we have been stillborn, dear friends. Stillborn. Never to know Christ. Never to know his mercy. Never to know his love to sinners. Dear friends, I pray that as those publicans and sinners and harlots came to Jesus, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, said the scribes and the Pharisees. Sublime words, dear friends, from the lips of those that were opposed to Jesus, enemies to Jesus, and yet Jesus came. And friends, he came to save lost sinners, and he came to redeem them by his precious blood. And pray that we may be one of those publicans and harlots and sinners that have been brought to know and feel the sickness of sin within them, and come directly to Jesus to know that cleansing, healing balm of his precious blood, being the great physician. In verse 10, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. You see, in verse 9, Simon Peter said this, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head, my body. Jesus saith, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And it means this, dear friends, we may know what it is to wash the whole body. And dear friends, if we go forth again, as they often did in and around the times of the Lord Jesus, Jerusalem and Nazareth, everywhere, dear friends, it was sandy, and they wore sandals. But this truth in respect of them, if they have washed the body and so forth, it was only the feet that was needful of washing, not the wholeness of the body. Well, dear friends, the application spiritual is this, that when Jesus has healed us and cleansed us, we are clean every whit. Now the feet, dear friends, the feet of our understanding, the feet of besetting sins, the feet of our conversations, the feet of our hearts by nature, they will continue to defile, dear friends. We will feel our sins to the end of our days. But Jesus is here saying that there has been one sacrifice for sin. And Jesus is that one sacrifice. And once Jesus is cleansed and healed, then this truth, and just read that word in Hebrews 10. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And dear friends, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We will continue to feel our sins. Paul realized the body of his death. He realized the solemn truth of the evils of his heart. When he would do good, evil was present with him. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, dear friends, the solemn truth. The corruption still in the heart. But oh, you see, that fountain of Christ's blood. Oh, for sin and uncleanness is open today. And here the poor sinner can resort, even as the publican. Oh, dear friends, he knew where to come. The mercy seat, dear friends, and that mercy through the blood of Jesus. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is the blessing of this verse. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Dear friends, in that spiritual way, we'll be washing our feet to the end of our days. We'll be fleeing to the cross of Jesus, to the fountain of his precious blood. Yes, as we continue to feel sin and its defiling effect upon our consciences, there is indeed that provided by our God, in the person of Jesus, a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And then this truth, but is clean every whit. Oh, dear friends, once in him forever. Oh, dear friends, poor soul can never be lost. No, what Jesus has done and wrought for the sinner will abide forever. And that is our mercy today. Oh, that precious blood, to heal, to cleanse. And then this truth, and ye are clean. And friends, it is so. As though we may feel sinned day by day, confess them day by day, and yet the church are clean. They're whole, they're complete, they're without blemish, they're without spot, dear friends, because they're looked upon and loved by God. They're received in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, a church justified forever. Dear friends, it cannot be changed. No, what Jesus has done, it abides forever. This is the blessing. And ye are clean, but not all. But not all. Dear friends, Judas here, he walked with the other disciples. The disciples had no idea whatsoever that this one was unclean. Walked with them. He said, not all clean, unclean. What a solemn truth that was. In verse 2, we have this truth, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's, to betray him. You know, it doesn't mean to say that the devil just came into his heart there and then. Don't misunderstand the word, dear friends. The devil abode in his heart. It's just that he put something else into his heart. And that was the time that he would betray the dear Lord Jesus. But not all. Dear friends, I thought of those disciples that walked with Jesus. And you know, when the Jesus spoke of the of that time and season, that they should eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Some of his disciples, they were hard things for them to receive. They couldn't receive them. Such hard things, eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. And what are we informed in respect of them? They turned back and walked no more with him. Dear friends, very solemn, isn't it? But not all clean. And we think of the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, not all clean. Very solemn, dear friends. Oh, may the Lord give us a real religion, a God-given religion, a religion that began in heaven and is performed and worked out in our poor souls through his Spirit and Jesus applied as our great Saviour and Redeemer. Oh, may the Lord work it in us, that these words shall never apply to any one of us. And ye are clean, but not all. Friends, I'll leave the words here. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £550, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach at our special services tomorrow in the afternoon at 3:00 and at 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And our friend Mr. Ince is expected to preach again next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Number 23.
thank thee, Lord, for those who are of the undefiled of thy people, that there is an inheritance undefiled that passeth not away, waiting for each and every one. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.